Life Enthusiast Co-op Podcast, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Let's join our hosts, Scott Patton and Martin Batella, now.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Podcast, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with Martin Batella. Hey, Martin, what's happening today?
Today's another good day, Scott. We're having a life, you know. We're still here. That means our job is not done.
Excellent. Well, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about things on the outside of the body, and I personally know for myself that I don't think of what I put on my skin as much as what I think of what I put in my mouth, and it's been very, very enlightening. But we were talking before the before we decided to record this that there's a relationship between the inside and the outside. And of course, when you look philosophically throughout history, you have the yin and yang, so within, so without, as without, or in all. You know, we've got all these things about what's inside and outside and how they're related. And it's very strange how we've ignored that when it comes to our bodies. And I thought it would be really good if we could kind of expand on, you know, how the inside of our body relates to the outside of our body.
Yes. So, in fact, you know, there are two kinds of insides of our body. Like, there's one inside, which is like, if you peel back the skin, there's the blood and the lymph and the muscles and all that, or there are the organs inside of your body cavity, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the inside, to me, that's completely separated from the world outside, and it needs to stay that way. If you expose it, you're in trouble. You're bleeding to death, or you're injured, or you could introduce infection that shouldn't be there. It's a sterile place, right? That's where if you operate on people, you need to maintain complete sterility, and you need to not introduce new bacteria to it.
Right. Well, that's why we know that. We know that from watching TV, right? And you see all these doctor shows and House and stuff, and they don't just, you know, come off the golf course and grab a scalpel and get to work. They're always scrubbing up, and they're drying a certain way and all that kind of stuff.
Right. So specifically, both your lymph and your blood, they're not supposed to be touching the outside. They're not supposed to come in interaction with it.
Right.
If you cut yourself, you make a hole in the skin, your body tries to cover it up as quick as possible and heal it. But there's the other. I wanted to tell you about the other inside, which is the pipe inside of you that starts with your mouth and includes the stomach and the intestines and ends up to your anus. And that part of your inside is actually the outside inside of you. I'm trying to give you a word picture that you understand. It's sort of like a sock that's been turned inside out, or a pipe that's inside of you that actually belongs to the outside.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Because when you put the food into it, it's the outside stuff, and you're chewing it up to, you know, masticate, to make it into small particles, sort of like a blender, and then you put it into the stomach and you mix it with the acid bath, so to help digest it, to rip it apart chemically. That's the acid bath. Remember when we were talking about Aja minerals and how you need the acid to leach the minerals and turn them into ionic forms?
Yeah.
So you need to do that. That happens in the stomach. Then it goes into the intestine. There it gets mixed with the soda, where it is again turned into the more alkaline stuff, so that the nutrients that have been now loosened in the stomach are able to be extracted through the intestinal wall, through between those little villi, through the wall, out into the bloodstream, but only when and if they have been broken into tiniest component pieces, individual amino acids or individual ionic minerals. And then that stuff travels out to the lower end, to the bowel, to the large intestine, where the water is being extracted out of it, so that the body doesn't have to, well, you need to recycle the water, so that the feces, actually, by the time it's coming out of you, isn't a mush as liquid as the stuff that's in your stomach. It's a whole lot more solid when it finally leaves you. And that's because most of the water has been extracted out of it. So the reason I'm saying that is to give a picture and an understanding that the terrain that's on the inside of you in the digestive tract is really part of the outside. And all of this was triggered by the question she asked me, well, if lactic acid is so good in the process of making kimchi or sauerkraut, why is it so not good when it's in your muscles or when it's a byproduct of cancerous tumor growth in your body?
Mm, great question.
Indeed, I had to think for a minute, and then I thought, oh, now I understand. Lactic acid actually stops the oxidative process. So in the case of a kimchi or sauerkraut, the lactic acid is actually preserving all the nutrients, puts them in stasis. Like, you know, in the old days when people didn't have refrigeration, they had cabbage up until about September, and then they had to harvest it. And then the next harvest comes in maybe April or May, right? So in order to preserve the nutrients somehow, they had to do something with it, and the natural fermentation was the way to do it. So they would ferment it, and it would create the lactic acid, and the lactic acid actually holds it from oxidation. You can have sauerkraut or kimchi sit around for 10, 20 years and be still edible. Which is important, because that means that you can actually pass on nutritious food that has had the minerals preserved, the enzymes preserved, and all of the other nutrients that are contained within it, ready for digestion. And when you eat it, indeed, it's just phenomenally refreshing.
So how does that work?
How does the natural fermentation work?
Yeah.
Well, the way they do it is take the vegetables and you chop it up into smaller bits and you put it into a crock pot and you put a lot of weight on top of it, a lid with weight, and you add the natural enzymatic cultures to it. It's sort of like yogurt or kefir or any of the other bacterial cultures that that we have used for a long, long, long time to conserve nutrients.
Okay.
So then you let it sit for a good long while, and it eats up all the sugars and converts them into these other nutrients. So the point of that exercise is this. We use the lactic acid to preserve it and to stop it from oxidation, which is great until we're ready to consume it. Because as soon as you take it out of the crock and put it on a plate, it's time to eat it. If you don't eat it, if you let it sit for a while, it just rots. Just like any other fresh food would rot.
Mm. And so we know that's a key when it comes to eating stuff, right? Because if you eat something like that doesn't rot, the chances are you're not going to really be able to digest it very well.
Yeah, you won't be able to get many nutrients out of it because it's already dead.
That's right, because when it's rotting, we know it's living because that's the decomposition process, right?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, things that are willing to yield all of its nutrients to you are spoiling right in front of your eyes.
And we live in such a society that wants everything sterile and unblemished, and we really,
yes.
If it's got the blemish, it probably means it's good for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. That's how you know it's good, when it's starting to rot. Yeah, if it won't rot, don't even bother, because it's not going to yield its nutrients to you anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's the point of the lactic acid being the tool that we use to stop the fermentation and stop the access of oxygen so it doesn't oxygenate and doesn't rot. That's how we preserve it. So now inside of your body, we know that if there is lack of oxygen, your cells will... Well, let me say it differently. Normal cellular energy regime involves presence of energy in the form of sugar and presence of oxygen. So when you have oxygen and sugar, you have energy, and the output is carbon dioxide and water. If you don't have enough oxygen, the cells will flip and they go into the fermentation regime. So they eat sugar, but the output is lactic acid. And it's known as cancer. Those cells are cancerous. Cancerous cells produce lactic acid as their output. The other way you can produce lactic acid in the body is through exercising beyond your body's ability to deliver oxygen to the spot, right? Mm-hmm.
And when we have lactic acid in our muscles usually ache a lot.
Oh, right? Absolutely. Yeah, lots of pain. And actually, a person with cancer that is, metastatic, that has a lot of tumors all over the place, they ache like that everywhere. I mean, it's excruciating. That's why a lot of cancer people are on morphine, just to deal with the awful pain, which is like systemic throughout at that point.
So somebody that would have, say, something like lupus or fibromyalgia, would they also have that pain?
Fibromyalgia is that type of a pain, yeah. It's constant and steady. I'm not familiar with lupus. I'm certainly familiar with fibromyalgia. I used to have that myself.
Okay.
And yes, that hurts everywhere, but it hurts to the touch, it hurts to move. But anyway, so it's the point I'm trying to make is that the lactic acid indeed correctly blocks oxygenation. It's just that it's totally undesirable when it's on the inside, where the muscles are or where the organs are. Whereas it's totally desirable on the outside of your body as a preserver of your food before you're ready to eat it.
I see. So that makes everything more complicated, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, we would love to have it all simple, right? That's the classic, actually. You just said the most important line. I would like to have it simple. I heard it just recently from a really famous marketer. He says, people want push-button simple.
That's
people
right.
People want silver bullet solutions, right? Yeah, doctor, give me a pill. I want this to go away.
That's right, the silver bullet.
And this is the sad state of our society, where we are looking for solutions that are lazy. Or we're lazy, we want solutions that don't require effort.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So when we don't...
I was
going
to say, or we also would just like to have the correct solution, because we hear so much information, so much disinformation, that it's really difficult oftentimes for us to even know what the right thing to do is.
Yeah, I agree. But, that this marketing advice was, if you want to be successful in selling something, you have to provide a push-button simple solution. Mm-hmm. If people can just say, do this, and it will fix the problem, then perfect. But if you can deliver to them and say, I am bringing to you the solution, you have to do nothing, just follow me, then it's going to succeed beyond in the market. Well, dear folks, that's what we've got. We have the pharmaceutical system offering us simplicity. Just pop these two in the morning and you'll be fine. But that's not what's going to happen. All you're doing is you're suppressing the symptoms, for the most part. You're suppressing the symptoms of a particular dysfunction in your body. We talked about it earlier, my favorite analogy, the gopher game, where you see something pop up and you have a little mallet and you smack at it.
Yeah.
And it disappears. It just, as soon as you hit it, it's gone. However, that problem will pop up elsewhere in no time. And that's what happens. When you have a headache, it usually is because of dehydration or mineral deficiency or toxicity in your body. Or, you know, tension and conscious problems and so on. Well, you can take a painkiller, you won't feel a thing. But have you solved the problem? Probably not, right? No, definitely not. Definitely not. If it was mineral deficiency, you better figure it out, because if you don't deal with the mineral deficiency, you know, magnesium deficiency, the rampant problem that we have addressed so many times in our podcasts, is associated with a list of about 25 different illnesses, from high blood pressure to obesity to nervousness to road rage. Mm-hmm. You know? Calcium deficiency, cramps in the muscles, heart problems, blood pressure problems, and so on. I mean, I could, you know, pick any one of the items, go to the health education pages on Life Enthusiast Co-op and start reading. Each one of these little things represents a laundry list of possible illnesses. And if you opt for the pill solution, all you're doing is you're removing the symptoms. And weeks, months, years later, you're going to just have the consequence of not having dealt with the deficiency, this time in form of a chronic illness. Anyway, so I'm getting off of the topic here. What I was trying to get to is explain that the inside
and the outside are connected.
Yes, but that the digestive system is really the outside that we carry on the inside of us, and it's like a compost heap. You know, the job of the digestive pipe is to consume, process, and digest and yield the nutrients of the stuff that we put in it. And it's very much like a compost pile, you know. If you have a compost pile, if you put too much protein into that compost pile, it'll start stinking and rotting. If you put too much water on it, it'll be soggy and it won't run. If you don't put enough water on it, it'll go dry and burn out. And so on.
Right.
You know, all of these analogies hold true for the inside as well. If you feed your body a reasonable mix of things, it'll work correctly. But if you don't, it'll spoil.
And we know that most of us don't.
Well, you know, here we are trying to dispense the advice. Sometimes I don't follow my own advice either.
Well, we're all human, right? The trick
oh, yeah.
is not to... I mean, we know that sometimes summers are very, very dry wherever you live in the world. And does that mean that your grass, I mean, it turns brown and that sort of stuff, but does it mean when it rains you've got no grass? No, because usually, even though some of the grass may die off and it turns brown and everything else, when it finally does get what it needs, it pops back, right?
Yeah, it comes back. Yeah.
And so the good news, I think, for us is and everyone else is one of the reasons we do this podcast is to try to get good information into people's hands so that they can make those intelligent decisions. And the good news is oftentimes we can bounce back. Maybe we have, you know, not drank enough water, we've not eaten enough living food, or whatever it may be. But once you start doing it, it's not like it's too late and it's over. We do bounce back.
Yes. Yes, I agree. In fact, it's about the capacity to recover. I mean, your liver and your kidneys are like filtration devices, and they have a certain capacity. So if, let's just say, if they had a capacity of 100, and you were importing toxins at a level of 105 every month or every year, you know, you have a declining system. You're starting to fill with toxins. Mm-hmm. And if the bucket held maybe only 60, you know, in 12 years, you're going to be fully loaded with toxins to capacity. And at right. that point, you would get some serious illness. But all that you need to do is go from 105 to 95, and in 12 years, you're as clean as a whistle. So the understanding is that, no, you don't have to be 100% perfect. You just have to ingest things that allow your cleansing organs to remove the toxins that you already have, so that you don't get yourself into the phone calls that I was on just like yesterday, where the woman is stage 3 metastatic cancer saying, what should I do? You know, it would be so nice if we had talked to her 5 years earlier when she was just stage 1 with, just starting cancer.
Right. Yes, don't wait till the last minute.
Yeah, then we're just trying to suggest all kinds of dramatic solutions. And they're the same solutions that we offer to the person who has more time. It's just that you're saying, you have to do this now, you have to do this every day, and you cannot play with it or else, you know. I mean, she was already told, well, the typical survival from your diagnosis is anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 years. And even if we do all of the chemical treatments, the chance of survival is about 14%.
Ouch.
Right. So I said, well, you know... you want to try something for 2 months? And she was game, because she was saying, well, I guess I'd be either dead or dying anyway, so I may as well try the natural thing.
Nothing left to lose.
Nothing. But there's nothing left to lose even before you get sick, you know, folks?
That's right. Well, and you've everything to gain, right?
Absolutely.
More energy, you know, more vibrancy. More
yes.
fit.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's amazing what the body does when you put the right fuel in it.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say when I'm talking about this 105 versus 95, you know, which side on the divide are you on? On the one that's taking you downhill or the one that's taking you towards full health and wellness?
That's exactly right.
Well, so I don't know, I'm not being too upbeat today, I suppose. I'm just feeling pretty bummed out about having to talk to people who are just so sick, you know. I would instead so much like to receive calls. They say, Martin, I'm feeling pretty good, but can you make me feel better? But no, you know, we have to wait until we're like, oh, one foot in the grave, the other one. Oh, anyway.
Well, I think that's a really valid point. We don't often think about, a lot of people take their health for granted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't it be nice to say, you know what, I'm just going to do what is best for me when I'm healthy.
Yes.
And
that's why.
And keep that health.
Yeah, that's why the old sayings like an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the $50 a month in superfoods is outweighing the $50,000 to $100,000 a month in organ transplant and cancer treatment and all of that. You know, how many?
Point.
Yeah, how many months at $50 a month is in $500,000?
$1,000.
Yeah, that's it. 1,000 months. So how many years is that?
Probably about 8 or 9.
No. No, 1,000 divided by 12.
Yeah. Sorry, 80
it's
or 90.
83 years. So what would you like? Spend $50 a month on superfoods as a preventive or spend it all?
Blow it all at once.
Yeah, you blow the wad all at once. Just $50,000, right? I mean... that's not even much. I mean, most Americans who end up with a cancer diagnosis that don't have insurance, they run up $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 bills before they die, broke and bankrupting not just themselves, but their families as well.
To say nothing of the heartbreak.
Well, yes. Okay. Well, I don't think I can get out of my morbid stories today.
Well, let's not leave on a down note here. You tell us one of the good stories.
So this woman called me from Hawaii, and she said, "I have breast cancer. What to do?" And I said, "Well, get on this XLR50 and get on the Allergyplex. Start eating them, and call me." She called in 2 weeks, and she says, "I have so much energy. I just don't understand. I was dragging around. I was tired. Last night I cleaned my house. I haven't cleaned my house in 6 months. I've been so debilitated."
Nice. There you go. So you do make a difference.
Oh, we do make a difference. I know. There's at least one person out there that's been helped.
I think many, many thousands have been helped.
Yes, I know.
All right, so if somebody wanted to call you up and talk to you about how they can optimize their health and maybe get through some of the challenges that they've got, where would they get a hold of you? How would they get a hold of you?
They can call the company number at 1-866-543-3388. Or call my direct line at 775-299-4661. Or visit the website, life-enthusiast.com, and do some reading.
How many articles do you think you have on your site now?
Oh, 2,000. There's enough to explain everything that a person would want to understand about natural wellness. There are not every illness that a person could have described on it in details, but in general, it's quite rich.
That's a lot of information.
Yes.
And it's easy to understand, because I've read through lots of it.
Yeah, we try to make it both understandable to an average person, but at the same time, we also have a bunch of articles that show the science referenced and all, where we actually document the reasons why this works. Anyway, the last bit, if you want to listen to our previous podcasts or the future ones, I imagine, go to lifeenthusiast.podomatic.com and find the other episodes there.
Excellent. So, Martin, any last words before we sign off for this week?
As usual, this is Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thanks for listening.